Your next speaker is Maxie Boren.
In the sixth chapter of Ephesians, and I would like for you to turn there for just a moment and look with me at verses 2 and 3 of Ephesians chapter 6, which is a quotation from the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus and verse 12. Here we find the Apostle Paul writing and saying, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on earth." Well, certainly it is fitting and appropriate that we consider that passage of Scripture. I'm personally thankful that our society does set apart a day for mothers and a day for fathers in which we can bring to mind those treasured memories of days past and gone, and that we might honor those who have been so devoted in rearing us, in bringing us to adulthood and pointing us in the right way. And so, if you will allow me this morning, as we have assembled to worship God, I do want to incorporate into our study of His Word those things that pertain to godly women and to those who have been mothers and who've done a good job at being mothers. And we're going to be studying from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1, and a part of chapter 2. And so you might be wanting to turn there as we make a few introductory remarks. I'm quite encouraged, really, that in a day and age when the home has been under such awful attack, and when motherhood has to a degree been spoken of with contempt, that there is still this day that we can remember and honor mothers. I know that I owe so much to my precious little mother, who passed away nearly 3 years ago, but she will always live within my heart. And those things that she taught me at her knee, and the great characteristics of godliness and righteousness which I imbibed from her example, for these I will always be indebted. And I know, as I speak concerning my mother, that you have treasured memories concerning your mother. Many of you here are privileged to have your mother still living, and we rejoice with you in that. Some have been on beds of affliction recently, and I know that there are three or four here this morning who have a genuine concern for the physical well-being of their mothers presently. But whether your mother has passed on from brief earthly life or whether she's still living, let us remember our mothers, as our study this morning pertains and revolves around that particular subject. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we read of a woman by the name of Hannah. And truly she is a splendid character, and we enjoy studying about her. There's not all that much said about Hannah. Every facet of information we have is right here. 1 Samuel 1 and a portion of chapter 2 up through verse 21. She was one of two wives of Elkanah. Now back in that day and age, multiple marriages were allowed. It was not God's design from the beginning at all, as you've learned in your previous studies. Genesis chapter 2 would indicate that a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And so obviously God's design for the marriage relationship, for the home, was for one man and one woman to be married for life. But there was a period of time when God tolerated or allowed or suffered some things that were not necessarily pleasing to His will. And one was multiple marriages. Another was the putting away of wives. We know that from the beginning it was not so, as Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 19. But nonetheless, Elkanah had two wives, and Hannah was one of those two wives. Now the other wife had given birth to children for Elkanah, but Hannah was barren. And this was a matter of great concern to her. She wanted to be a mother. And certainly that very impulse was a noble impulse. and certainly in keeping with God's will for the marriage relationship and for the home. Replenish the earth was his directive as man and woman were made and created by him. And the design and purpose of God commenced to be unfolded on the pages of inspiration, that a man and woman be joined together in marriage, and that children are the product of that love and of that communion one with the other. And so this is a part of God's arrangement. She aspired to be a mother, but she was barren, and this was a source of grief. Now, as they journeyed from their home in Ramah, not far from Mount Ephraim, to Shiloh, to the house of the Lord, she prayed a prayer. And I want you to notice the prayer that she prayed, and we're going to make some comments on prayer, because our lesson is to derive things from this study that will benefit ourselves. Even as we think of the nobility of motherhood, we want to gain some practical lessons of application to our own lives. And one thing you're going to learn about Hannah, she was a woman of prayer, and she made a promise to God which she kept. And of course, both of these are very commendable. Notice verses 10 and 11 of chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Now here was a woman praying fervently that God would bless her in conceiving and bearing a son for her husband. And she made a pledge or a vow to God, if you will grant me this prayer, I will in turn give this man child to you all the days of his life. And we're going to note momentarily how she kept that pledge. But right now, let us talk about the depth of despair that brought about the prayer that we just read in verses 10 and 11. Anyone who's lived for very long at all will certainly experience those moments of deep, burdened hearts and souls, as Jonah did in the predicament he found himself in the second chapter of the book which bears his name. Down in the stomach of the great fish, his soul fainted within him, and that was when he remembered the Lord. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 7. Millions of others perhaps have souls fainting within. And in the very midst of such an ordeal, one can go but to the only source of refuge available, which is Almighty God. And Jesus, the great example for our lives, certainly demonstrated such on the night of his betrayal, when he took Peter, James, and John into the Garden of Gethsemane. He urged them to wait and to watch in his behalf while he went into the garden to pray. And in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, we find him as he goes into the garden, falling prostrate onto the ground and saying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. His soul was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death, as it were. And great sweat drops of blood were there as he prayed fervently to God that this cup might be removed. However, not my will, but thine be done. So the bottom line of our prayers to the Father is that his will be done. But there is a source of refuge, and for that, each one of us should be very thankful indeed. There was a man by the name of Thomas Moore who wrote one of the songs in our songbook called Come Ye Disconsolate. And I want to share with you the words of one of those stanzas. Come ye disconsolate, where'er ye languish, come at the mercy seat, fervently kneel. Here bring your wounded hearts, and here tell your anguish. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that even in the moments when we feel perhaps the most burdened, and when we feel so lonely and like the weight of the world presses upon our shoulders, that there is one to whom we can turn, the great God of refuge, with full confidence that He will hear our prayers. And from these depths of despair, oftentimes come blessings that change our lives. And certainly that was the case in the life of Hannah, because God did indeed answer her prayer. I think of what David wrote in Psalms chapter 119, in verse 71. "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Well, maybe we wouldn't feel that need for God if it weren't for those times when our souls were burdened with some problematic situation. In the case of Hannah, she wanted very badly to be a mother. And up until that point in time, she had not been privileged to be a mother. And so she prayed out of the despair of her heart. I think again of what David wrote in Psalms 142. I want to share with you excerpts from verses 3 through 5. And notice the one to whom he turned. He said, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me." Now you see how closely akin that is to what we read in 1 Samuel 1 concerning Hannah, that she was certainly disconcerted. He said, "I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, and no man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord." What a beautiful reflection then of the same thing we see in 1 Samuel chapter 1. God granted her prayer and gave her a son. And that sorrow that she had experienced prior to this turned into great joy. And we should be thankful for that. The Bible tells us that she was sorrowful and wept and did not eat in verse 7, the latter part of verse 7 of chapter 1. But after her prayer to God and her confidence that God would hear prayer, the Bible says that her countenance was no more sad. Chapter 1 and verse 18. So prayer to God relieved her of the burden that she had. And we need to learn this, that prayer is that avenue through which we can find great consolation and comfort. After we have poured our hearts out to God with full faith that He has heard our feeble petitions and that He has the power to grant us those things that are needful to bless our lives and to sustain our lives, then no use to continue to be sad, but to be happy. With that full assurance of faith that God loves us and will provide, and certainly that was the case in Hannah's life, because she did conceive and she brought forth a son, and his name was Samuel. And that simply means ask of God. She had asked God for a son, and God gave her a son, so he was the son of her asking, and thus the name of Samuel. I think of us today in the avenue of prayer. The Bible teaches that we're to pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5. And the Bible teaches us that we have a great high priest who intercedes in our behalf. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, is our advocate with the Father, and the Spirit of God intercedes in our behalf. And we can go to our Father in prayer with full assurance of faith that He will hear. Oh God, if You will just help me through this crisis, we've oftentimes said, then I will do such and such. Do we keep our promises before Him? Hannah did. She gave her son to the Lord. When she and Elkanah, her husband, went forth to Shiloh, she brought her son after he had been weaned and gave him to the priest Eli. Only saw him upon their return trips. Don't you know that must have been an anguishing experience for Hannah to leave her son there, and yet she had made that promise and that pledge, and she kept that promise. And too many of us will sometimes promise God things in moments when we feel that we need Him so desperately, but then we will forget about those promises when things get better. And we've got to guard against that, because to make a promise to God is a very serious commitment. And if we do make a promise or a vow to God that we will do such and such, why then we need to do our very best to keep that promise and to keep that vow. We remember Hannah primarily because she was the mother of Samuel. much more so than for any other reason. And certainly she continued to live on through the splendid life that Samuel lived. But she herself was a mother of prayer and a mother who kept her vow. And we want to remember that as well as the fact that her son became a priest and a prophet and a great judge over Israel, one of the most righteous men of the Old Testament era. Probably one of the most sublime examples that we can find in the Old Testament concerning the way that one should conduct his life. But how sad it is when parents, instead of giving their children to God and desiring that they grow up into adulthood as Christians, are more interested in their children attaining fame or fortune or something of that nature, popularity, instead of righteous conduct. I have confidence in the parents of this congregation that indeed your desire is to train your children in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. And if that should be the case with you, as I trust it is, I commend you for that and encourage you to keep on keeping on. And if you will, the great likelihood the results will be wonderful indeed. I think of Timothy. If it had not been for his mother Eunice, if it had not been for his grandmother Lois, would he have been the kind of young man that he turned out to be? Read about him in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. And again in chapter 3 of the same book, beginning with verse 14, where Paul urged him to abide in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a babe thou hast known the sacred scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. Well, you go back and you read the first chapter, and you read about his mother Eunice, you read about his grandmother Lois, and the teaching that must have come from them resulted in him being the great individual that he was. Abraham Lincoln once said, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." I think that is a fitting tribute from one so great as was Abraham Lincoln in our own national life. Someone wrote this poem, and I want to apply it to mothers. The poem actually was written from the standpoint of a teacher. But in essence, a mother is a teacher, the very first teacher of the children that she brings into this world. A builder builded a temple. He wrought it with care and skill. Pillars and walls and arches were fashioned to meet his will. And men said when they saw its beauty, "It shall never know decay. Great is thy skill, O builder, thy fame shall endure for aye." But a mother builded a temple. She wrought with skill and care, forming each pillar with patience and laying each stone with prayer. None saw the unceasing effort. None knew of the marvelous plan, for the temple the mother builded was unnoticed by the eyes of man. Gone is the builder's temple, crumbled into the dust, pillars and walls and arches, food for consuming rust. But the temple the mother builded shall endure while the ages roll, for that beautiful unseen temple was a child's immortal soul. And again, those of us present this morning, think of our mothers. And we remember the teaching that we gained at their feet and the example that we gained by observing their lives. And we're thankful, therefore, for the privilege of honoring mothers. And as we do so, I believe that we are in keeping with God's will. Honor thy father and thy mother. And so there's nothing out of context, even during this hour of worship to God, to remember the arrangement that he made for human well-being, the arrangement of the marriage relationship, and the sanctity of the home, and all that it entails should be taught quite frequently in our pulpit and in our classrooms so that children themselves will grow up appreciating parents during their childhood, obeying their parents in the Lord, for this is right, and growing up to be the kind of people that they should be. An unknown poet wrote this and said, "The noblest thoughts my soul can claim the holiest words my tongue can frame, unworthy they are to praise the name, sweeter by far than others. An infant when her love first came, a man, I find it just the same. Reverently thus I breathe her name, the blessed name of mother. Very beautiful poem. So many beautiful poems written on that subject. Turn with me now to Proverbs chapter 31 for the concluding thoughts of our lesson. And I choose to read from the King James translation some of the same verses that were read a moment ago in our hearing. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. I tell you right now, in keeping with what this says, to find a Christian woman, one who certainly has that gentle and quiet spirit that the Apostle Peter speaks of in 1 Peter chapter 3, whose character is unimpeachable, her price indeed is far above rubies, her value far exceeding that of precious jewels. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. And many of us present this morning are blessed with godly Christian wives who have stood by our sides faithfully and have become the mothers of our children. And in a very personal way, I express great love and appreciation for Fran, who has stood by me as the wife of a gospel preacher for nearly 38 years and has brought 4 children into this world. And I love and appreciate her very much, as I'm sure you express and feel toward your own wife. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. What a wonderful thing God designed in making woman for man. He saw that it was not good that man should dwell alone. And thus the Bible says that God said, I will make an help meet for him. That is, one worthy of him, one that is supplemental to his happiness and complements him, one that fulfills. And thus he made his equal in woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, she is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And henceforth shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And according to this particular passage, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She works willingly with her hands. One of the most beautiful pictures of the Christian wife and mother is found in Titus chapter 2. And there the inspired record says that she is a keeper at home, a lover of her husband, a lover of her children. And I don't believe that there can be a more noble sphere of activity for the Christian wife and mother than right there in the home. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. And we should never hesitate to say what the Bible teaches. And I would urge you to read the second chapter of the book of Titus yourself, where Paul gives instruction to 5 different groups of Christians. And one pertains to older women teaching younger women. And please observe what the older women were to teach the younger women there in Titus chapter 2. And you'll see how it blends perfectly well with this description of a virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31. Verse 15, she riseth while it is yet night and gives or prepares meat or food for her household. And oh, how many times I've witnessed that in the life of my mother and have seen it again in the life of the one who is my wife. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms, and her candle goeth not out by night. The Christian wife and mother's influence continues. It's not just a matter of punching the clock for a couple of hours and then forgetting about it, but it's a labor of love that continues around the clock. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. What would we do without Christian women who are so very careful in their attention to preparing food for needy families or for grieving families and attending to the needs of others in such a marvelous way as do Christian women? Strength and honor are her clothing, verse 25. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. We're reading about a faithful, devoted servant of the Lord, not busily involved in gossip or backbiting or maliciousness, but contrarywise, when she speaks wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household. That pretty well says it all right there. And she eats not the bread of idleness. The true Christian wife and mother is one of the busiest individuals in the world. As she attends to the needs of her household and functions in that capacity in such a worthy way. Her children rise up and call her blessed. And that's what I want to emphasize as we bring our lesson to a conclusion. And that's the reason we have a day called Mother's Day, when children can indeed recognize their mothers and honor them and call them blessed. And how thankful we should be for mothers. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. So what we're doing this morning in bringing this to our minds is in full keeping with the revealed will of God as we find it on the pages of inspiration. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So to you mothers today, we say thank you for a job well done. We love you and we appreciate you. And we're privileged this morning to bring a few thoughts from the sacred record that certainly I hope will be sort of icing on the cake for you as you go about your activities. Know that we do love you and appreciate you very much.